حفيظة، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And السلام عليكم to the listeners.
Let's start with Qatar. The story of how Qatar is seeking to promote wider use of the Arabic language is one that you have been following. We understand that there has been some progress on this front. Tell us more.
That's right. A very encouraging follow-up onto the story that we reported on here on Sabah al-Muslim, on the latest report about 2 years ago. And that was where Qatar and the Qatari government and cabinet were in the process of drafting a law and putting some legal framework with the Supreme Education Council and trying to stipulate that the use of the Arabic language in administration, in tertiary studies, should be included and be made mandatory. So as a follow-up to the story, we've now learned that the Qatar cabinet has approved the draft law on what they call and label as the protection of Arabic language. And this is their effort to promote a wider use of the language in Qatar itself. So the draft law now requires that all ministries, official institutions, and municipalities will need to use the Arabic language in their documents, contracts, transactions, correspondence, even in their publications and advertisements. Also, it means that national public universities in Qatar and institutions of higher education that are overseen by the government will be required to teach all subjects in Arabic. The shift from English to Arabic will start in September of this year, so in the new schooling and academic year. But it's not clear if the draft law will require Arabic for teaching other subjects like medicine or engineering, because these are taught in English in all the Qatari universities. It has raised some concerns about the difficulties that students would face, specifically those students who have already started studying in English, as well as many international students. The new draft law was driven by concerns over the loss of cultural identity, and the Qatari government was concerned that the younger generation lacked interest in MSA, Modern Standard Arabic, as opposed to Arabic dialects or foreign languages like English or French. And the concern was the erosion of cultural identity. So as a result, they're trying to bring back Arabic as a language that's spoken at schools. They're working at strengthening the school curriculum, and Arabic being a language where families, Qatari families, start speaking Arabic and no longer English, French, or Spanish at home. And they want this as part of their effort to save their identity as Arab.
Now, moving on to Yemen, almost a year since the Saudi-led Arab coalition began its bombing campaign in Yemen, thousands have been killed and 15 million left now without access to basic health care. How can our listeners follow the story from those who are most affected via social media?
I think at Radio Islam International, we are covering the story, alhamdulillah, on many fronts, on our grassland programs, as analysis itself, and the articles that go up on our opinion analysis section of the website, alhamdulillah. But there is a need, and there should be that need, to want to know more about what is happening in Yemen. It sounds as complex as Syria, if not more so perhaps in some instances, but there should be that interest for us to know more about what is happening in Yemen and what's the situation there on the ground. It's very difficult to ascertain who is right and wrong. There is no 100% right or wrong, because we know that the first casualty of war is truth, and that comes to us in the form of information and journalism. And today, despite there being so many social media avenues for us to learn more, it actually makes it much more difficult and complex to find out and ascertain the truth. But there are still hashtags that you can use to follow to discover how people on the ground are affected by the war itself. We often get taken away by numbers and statistics and fail to realize that it's everyday people on the ground that are being affected, families torn apart, entire communities destroyed, the National Library of Qatar, for example, and the 1,000-odd-year-old Qur'an and Mus'haf copies that are in Sana'a especially, that are in great danger of being destroyed and lost from the heritage of this Ummah. To discover more about the situation and the condition of people on the ground, you can find out more with the hashtag 300 in the numbers 300, Days of War, and hashtag 10, as in 10, months of Saudi war. So 300 days of war, and the other hashtag, 10 months of Saudi war. You get everyday people on the ground tweeting what they're experiencing, what they're seeing with their own eyes, and their thoughts, their feelings about what really is happening there, whether or not they are, you know, siding either with the Saudi-led coalition or with the Houthis or with neither of them. Already start having this with Hisham al-Omaisi, and his chiefs are among those that are at the forefront of explaining what's happening, and where you can follow up and find out and, you know, discover more on what really is happening with the tweet storms that continue to happen with these hashtags, 10 months of Saudi war being one of them, and the other 300 days of war. It's almost a year for what's happened in Yemen, but we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks.
Inshallah. Hafid, as always, jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated.
You're most welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.